would tonight, if you'd take your Bibles and turn me to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, there's a whole lot of wonderful things in that passage of Scripture, and could continue to read a little bit more about it. God's blessing on Abraham, and the wonderful picture that is. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, Behold, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So, when we look at the passage there, and we look at this, there's just so many things there, and it's just an amazing passage of Scripture. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll walk through it. It says, Father, we thank you for all that you've given. And we thank you, Father, for the Word of God that we've read. Pray tonight you'd help us to see some wonderful things. I pray, Lord, not only would you help us to see wonderful things and behold wondrous things out of thy Word, but, Lord, that it would find its way into our heart and we would see and use this to understand our relationship with you better, and be willing to simply give you what you ask of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. At first verse, causes, first couple of verses causes a lot of people to stumble at the Bible because they don't understand what's going on. That first verse says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now, first problem that people often have with this passage of Scripture is it says that God did tempt Abraham. And they say, well, wait a minute, that's a contradiction in the Bible, because the Bible says God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. And the proper understanding of this, you know, a lot of people say, well, that tempt really means test. And it does mean test. But God is not tempting Abraham to evil, he's tempting him to righteousness. There is a difference. The devil tempts you for the purpose of getting you to do evil. We're drawn, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own what? Lust and enticed. God is tempting Abraham to self-denial and tempting Abraham to give everything, even that which God has blessed him with, which is kind of the focus of the message tonight. But I want you to go on and read this, and I want you to see this. He said, "Take him and get thee into the land of Moriah." Now that's a very important passage of Scripture. Alright, because, or mention of there, because he says he's going to go to the land of Moriah and offer him on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now God told Abraham where to go and where to make this offering, and it was in the land of Moriah. And if you read into the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you look at the dedication of the temple, you will find that the temple was built in the mountains of Moriah. And all of that goes in the picture, and Jewish tradition states that the place where the Holy of Holies is the place where, if I remember correctly, is the place where Abraham offered up Isaac. Now, I don't have any way to prove that. I'm just saying that's a tradition that I've heard. But certainly the temple was built in this place. And also, this area here is also has to do with Golgotha, Calvary. And so we see that picture there. And it says that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lift up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That third day is important because that's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Christ rose the third day. Alright? So they went on a three-day journey, and they saw that there. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Now that's very important also, because Abraham explicitly told them that he and the lad would go worship and come back. And the Bible says that he accounted that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. And so, and that's in the book of Hebrews. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And that is a very important thing there, because the scripture there, God will provide himself a lamb. Christ was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And he was literally God manifest in the flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So there's the picture. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. So there's the picture we see there. And so God would provide himself as a lamb. And then it says, and they came to the place that God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now that is a very important passage of Scripture. Another place where people have a problem with understanding and seeing. And it says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That place God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will provide. The Lord will provide. And he says, in the mount of the Lord it will be seen. That's what it's talking about, is the redemption, the salvation. That's where it's going to be there. So it's that picture, that prophecy there, even before Israel understood what it was. That fact that he would. And notice that God asked Abraham to provide, to give him his only begotten son. Begotten doesn't mean only one. It means one unique, a kind. One of a kind, if you would say that. The Greek word's monogenes, if you want to go play around with Greek and all that type of stuff like that. One of a kind. And he said, thy son, thine only son. He said, wait a minute, Abraham had many sons. No, he had only son, because Ishmael was gone. The only one he had right now was Isaac. And not only that, Isaac was the chosen seed of promise. He was the promised seed. And so we see that. And so there's a picture of Abraham giving to God his only son. And God's response is to give his only son for the entire world, for us. Now that's an important picture to look at. And then he goes on and talks about that. And of course we see the angel of the Lord coming and saying, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, what is being done there and what is being prophesied there is that his seed, not seeds, not all of his children, but his seed, Christ, that lineage, as the son of Abraham. And Romans tells us, and Galatians tells us, it's not seeds as of many, but seed, which is one, which is Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the salvation of God, the grace of God. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we understand that. But I want you to see something as we go back to this. And he said, in verse 12, he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now that's very important. Now, you might say, well, preacher, I thought God knows everything. Preacher, I thought God knows everything that is going to happen. I thought God knows the end from the beginning. I thought God knows everything that possibly could happen. And you would be right. He does. And I will point this out to you, that what God says in the Bible, He doesn't say for His benefit, He says for ours. When we said God tempted Abraham, once again, He did not tempt him to wickedness, He tempted them to righteousness. He said, I want you to take that son that I gave to you, and I want you to offer him back to me. And Abraham believed the promise of God, the Bible tells us, to the point to where he accounted that, okay, God wants me to do this. I don't understand the whys and the hows. All I know is I believe God, and therefore God will raise him up from the dead. God's promised me that in Isaac shall my seed be called. He's given me that promise. And he says, God wants me to give him back. But I trust that God will give him back to me. That's what the Bible tells us about that. And we're getting a picture of what God sees. We're getting a picture of how God sees this and what God is doing. And God did all of this for our benefit, to show us that He will keep His word, even when He calls upon us to do things that we don't comprehend. Even when God tells us to continue to do things, or to do things that don't appear to be the best option as far as we can see. Now let me ask you a question. By the way, this is a place where a lot of people have trouble. Why do we have trouble with giving? And I'm not saying anybody here has trouble with giving. And if you don't have trouble with giving to God, then hallelujah. Here's a good lesson you can pass on to somebody else. But so oftentimes we have trouble giving. God gives to us, and we have trouble taking that which God has given and using it for His honor and glory. I mean, that's the way Israel was too, by the way. You go look at the... turn over to the book of Hosea, if you would. See if I can find the passage I'm looking for here. All right. Notice what it says. All right. Hosea in chapter 2. It says about Israel and it also talks about Hosea and his wife. All right. Gomer, all right, in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool, and my flax given to cover her nakedness. So he's saying that Gomer, and God saying that Israel, took the things that they gave and used them for others. Gave them to others. Didn't know that it came from me. In other words, stop seeing that the blessings were from God. Even the blessings belong to God. Something we need to understand. And God gave us a beautiful picture in that Abraham offered his only son and did that in the sense that in such a way that we look at that and say, there's nothing he wouldn't do for God. There's nothing he wouldn't give to God. And beloved, that's the way we should be. God blesses us, and we ought to give back. God is not going to take his blessings from us. And you know something? Isaac was the son of promise. But the end result, after this thing where Abraham gave Isaac back to God, and figuratively saw him raised up because a substitute was provided, Hebrews says God, he accounted that God would raise him from the dead, from whence he received him, whence he also received him in a figure. But at the end of it, God's blessing becomes greater. If you go back to Genesis chapter 18. If you go back to Genesis chapter 18, and not 18, maybe it's 16 is what I'm looking for. Let's see. Where am I looking? Well, maybe go back to 15, sorry. Genesis chapter 14, right? All right. In verse, let's go, just start reading in chapter 1, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, and then we have the passage of the scriptures where Abraham, he tells Abraham to take a heifer, a she-goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon, and he took them all and he divided them in verse 10, and each piece one against another. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was setting down, verse 12, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates, and the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So there we go, and we have the picture where God gives him the promise of a son and the promise of the land and makes a covenant with him. And God's the only one that passed through the pieces there that were there when they cut the covenant, because the covenant depended on God. There's the picture that we have there. But we get to chapter 22, and we get there and we see God pronouncing his blessing, and God says, by myself have I sworn. As God could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. And he gives them a greater promise, a promise with such surety that it God would have to deny himself in order for it not to come true. That's the same thing he said when he talked about Christ being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right, so we have that promise. God swore by himself. And so there's the picture there that he has. So in giving back to God what God had given him, and trusting God that God wasn't going to do him wrong when he decided to give what he was going to give, when he decided to give back to what God had given him, when he trusted God, the blessings did not diminish, they became greater. Do you see that? That's the picture. You know, people say, you can't outgive God type thing. And you can't. But many times, God requires something from us. We read something in the Bible, and we are being tempted, if you will, to righteousness. Tempted, if you will, to yield to the Spirit and say yes to God. How many times have you read something in the Bible and said, I don't know if I can do that? I don't know how that's going to work. People meet those challenges all the time. And it's part of the Bible. But when you and I just go ahead and trust the promises of God, even though let me just throw a thing out there. How many people, when it comes to tithing or giving to missions or giving other ways, they say, well, you know, I don't have anything to give. I mean, God's given me this, but I can't, you know, if I give it away, what am I going to do? How am I going to eat? How am I going to do that? How am I going to accomplish that? And what does he say? Given it shall be given unto you, right? Pressed down, shaken together, in good measure shall men give into your bosom. He gives us the promises, doesn't he? But he tells us to take what he's given, and everything's given by him, and oftentimes he requires us to use it. So people have trouble. You know, I've never regretted tithing. I've never regretted giving to missions. I've wondered, why can I do it? And I've said, okay, I'm going to do it. And that's just one of many things. But whenever we look at the things that happen in the Word of God, we look at them very carefully and very clearly, and we see that throughout the Bible there are things that God wants us to do that are contrary to that old nature and are contrary to what the world's wisdom is. We can talk about giving. We can talk about blessing those who curse us, praying for those who despitefully use us. You know, there may come a time where we may have to defend ourselves. that doesn't mean we go and launch a preemptive strike against people and do that type of stuff. I mean, there's a certain way, there's a right way to handle things, a wrong way to handle things. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that when that reads their Bible to think of what these people did at the Capitol or what these people have been doing for their supposed injustices and everything that they have. I mean, you know, we should all be against police violence or brutality or anything like that. But that doesn't mean we go and harm other people because we're mad, right? I mean, we don't have a problem with that, do we? But sometimes we have a problem with just doing good to people. You know? If thine enemy hunger, do what? Feed him. Contrary to the way we feel, isn't it? I mean, we could go on at a long length, but the whole point is, if God is working on your heart to do something, look back at this. Don't be afraid. He's going to do you no wrong. All the blessings are His. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If He asks us to take it, what He's given us, and use it somewhere, whether it's time or money or talents or abilities, whatever it may be, you say, I can't. Sometimes people sit there and they have talents and abilities that God's given them, and they say, you know, the Spirit speaks to them about doing stuff. They start looking at all the things they got going on and all the irons they have in the fire, and they can't do it. And is it any wonder why we don't have? Is it any wonder why we don't have people that give faithfully? Is it any wonder that we don't have people who serve faithfully? Is it any wonder that just a few people seem to do the work, the lion's share of the work, right? Why is it? Because people don't trust God. They haven't learned this lesson, that even the blessings belong to God. Something to think about. Hopefully it'll be a blessing and a challenge to you, and maybe if you're struggling somewhere, hopefully it'll be a help to get you to just go ahead and say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God is good, and I know He's going to keep His promises to me. So I'm just going to obey Him. I'm just going to trust Him. Let's think about that. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for each one that's here. Thank You for Your blessing on each one and the things You've blessed us with. Now, Lord, help us to be willing to just as You've opened Your hands to give to us, that we'd open our hands and our hearts to give back to You whatever You require. And, Lord, realize that we can trust You, that if there is something that just doesn't make sense, but it's what You want, that we just trust You and say these things belong to You and You'll keep Your promise. And, Lord, help us to understand it in that way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.